The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Side Studies.
Hey guys, this is Rick from the Burrows. We did a study with Kelly Coy called How Sovereign is Our God. And during that study, we talked about the total sovereignty, the 4 and 5 points of Calvinism. We talked about what it meant to be called, what it meant to be elected. We talked about the inability of man to do specific things in regard to salvation or being conformed into the image of Christ. But during that session, I received a lot of information from people around who listened to us, whether it be through email or text or even phone calls, about how Mr. Coy sounded very sad and perhaps wrong. Miserable are some of the terms that were used. Well, I would like to tell you that this episode is a testimony that is a follow-up. At the end of that series, Kelly shared his testimony, and in doing so, it seemed like even though all of that was amazing, it still left him desiring and wanting and almost miserable. But since then, God has taught him something through the book of Numbers, something that really affected him. And since then, we have seen a radical change in Kelly's life, his demeanor, and his relationship to others. And it's been nothing short of amazing to watch. So that's what this episode is about, to hear the updated testimony of Kelly Coy and how God continues to conform us into the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening, guys.
The last time we met, and this has been going on for pretty much since we've owned this land, I've been in a bad spot spiritually. And the last time we met, I didn't even want you guys to be here, honestly. I don't even remember what it was, honestly. It was bad, but I didn't want to be around anybody. And it was something that had taken a toll on me for a long time. Building this house, all the things, dealing with it, even when I was on your podcast, you said that Andy said something about it or like that, and it got bad. And what's funny about that, I don't know if, because Gloria said that she had texted you all about that I was having a bad day. So I don't know if you all prayed or what, but the next morning, I was doing my morning reading. And I've probably read this short passage in Numbers 11. I read through the Bible typically at least once a year. So I've probably read through it 20 some times. And it's just funny how it hit me differently the next morning, that Sunday morning before we went to church. And it's Numbers 11. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And this is a teaching not for you all, because I feel like I have a deficit in this world because I didn't grow up in church. And my whole family life growing up, I remember my whole life just complaining about everything. And somehow, in my Christian life, even when hearing people say, you know, you should be thankful, I was thankful for so many things. But it was almost like it was negated by all the complaining that I still did. And it's almost like I made complaining somehow a secondary sin. It's almost as if it was trivial. And when I read this, it hit me so hard. And it was almost like something just clicked in my head that all the things that I have been doing has been a smack in the face of God, because I know he's sovereign in everything. I know he's sovereign in bringing the things that I didn't like, that I was complaining about. I know they all came from him. And so it made me bitter. And it made me smack him in the face or be angry towards him because I knew he was sovereign. But it was in that complaining that I was saying to him that I deserve better. But none of us do. Any blessing that we have from him is his grace. And so it changed the next day on how, like I told you this before, how I felt like I was on the Truman Show, that movie where Jim Carrey, that there's that part in the movie where they don't want him to get somewhere. And so they, you know, cars are backing out and getting out of the drive and he can't get where he's going. And I felt like everything I did was God stopping me and bringing opposition to my day. And it made me bitter. But now, and I don't know why this took so long for him to correct this in me, or why it took me so long to get it. But now, when these things happen, I just go, okay. And I accept it. Because I deserve the bad things that happen. We all do. We deserve what we get. And he is a loving God, but at the same time, all the trials and things that we do are also for our good, but we deserve them also. We sin daily and we're constantly in opposition to him. So any bad or anything that we think is bad, we deserve it. We're not somebody who somehow, because we're in Christ, we deserve all sunshine and rainbows. And so now it's changed in me, and I'm just telling you this almost as a confession, not really a teaching, but it's changed my day. It's changed. I look at every adversity. It's still the Truman Show in a lot of ways, but it's changed how I react to it. It's changed. I don't curse at it now. I don't get angry in traffic. I don't get angry because FedEx just showed up in the exact same spot that I was going before me, and now I can't go there. So, like I said, it's more of a confession and just sharing what God taught me from this passage, that he was so kindled with anger that he consumed part of the camp because of their complaining. So all I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is complaining is saying that you don't deserve what you get. And God brings all things into your life daily, everything about it. And so the blessings that he gives, he's doing that by grace. And you having calamity in your day, you deserve it. You are adverse to him at every moment. And so I feel like I should share this because I was a complainer, bad one. I would praise out of one side of my mouth in the morning and praise him for the good, but at the same time, throughout the day, it was almost like I was negating any praise that I was giving him throughout the day, just complaining about everything. I complained about this house. I complained about the things that I don't like about it, that didn't go the way I wanted them to. And I'm telling you now that all those things that didn't go the way I wanted them to was because I just kept complaining about it. So now I try 100%, and it's changed my day. Like I said, I try all day long now to just not complain about anything. Because I was coming home today, actually, from the UPS store, because we got the rest of that furniture, and I got stuck behind, it was just a slow activity bus. I just said, I deserve to be behind this activity bus. I deserve this adversity in my day. I'm not going to complain about it. And I didn't. And eventually he turned off and I got to go the speed I wanted to. And blood pressure didn't go up, didn't get angry that I'm going 35 and a 45. So again, I'm just saying, complaining is something that was almost a staple in my household growing up. Grandma, my grandpa, my mom, even my mom to this day complains about everything. Nothing is good. Nothing is, and it's funny that I would see that and it would wear on me, but I didn't get it myself. So that's all I got. But it's just funny how Numbers 11 taught me this.
Yeah, I never would have even considered that verse. So that's definitely God doing that one too.
No, I know. But it, like I said, I've probably read it 20 times. Yeah. Never hit me that way. But he was so angry about their complaining that he fired, consumed part of the camp. How angry was God that they're complaining? Yeah. And I know we're under grace now, but at the same time, the things that are detestable to him in the Old Testament are still probably detestable to him now. Because you're still just saying to him, what you've given me is not good enough. It's not what I deserve. Or what I think I deserve.
Yeah. It's like whenever you have a disciplinarian father, if he loves you, he may have to go get the switch. You know?
Yeah.
He might have to. And even though my dad would whip me when I was young, I still loved him after it was done. I was mad at him, but I loved him. I knew why he was doing it. Later, you know, and then as I grew up, it's because he did it. You know, he took part in making me into the man that I am because he loved me enough to correct me. And you're driving down the street, and you don't necessarily need correction, but for whatever reason, he's placed that adversity in your life for your good. Well, and that's the part that's hard for us because we don't understand why. But we don't have to.
Well, what's funny about all of this is, you know, I was hearing some sermons from David Curtis that week before, and he was talking about, you know, making sure you praise God for, you know, a warm bed, a roof, and all that. Like, it just, you wanted on this list of things that you could praise, and I was doing that. But at the same time, in his sermons, he never got to the point of the adverse of it. Mm-hmm. Is that praising almost seems like it doesn't mean anything if you're just going to keep complaining about everything. Mm-hmm. Also.
Yeah.
So I just caution you, brothers and sisters, when things aren't going your way, don't complain about them. Mm-hmm. Just accept them. Accept them and know that anything good, you don't deserve either. You deserve wrath.
It's true.
I mean, you do. Every one of us deserves wrath. So any grace that you get is great. But the things that you do not like, just accept them. Because you deserve them. You honestly do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not necessarily God looking at you and saying that you're getting this because you deserve it. He's looking at it from, I'm doing this because it's going to somehow conform you to the image of his son. Mm-hmm. It's going to work in your life to, and I don't know why it took like 3+ years for me to get this, or probably longer actually, but I just noticed it when we bought this land. It was just constant. Something was going wrong. And Glory can attest to this. It was always something that was going wrong, whether it be the neighbors that turned us into DEQ and us getting under that thumb for 2 years or what. I mean, it was just something. And I just, this has brought to light that I've always been a complainer. And it finally took its toll to the point where I was angry. But it's, I feel like it's changed in the last 2 weeks.
I agree.
Or whatever long it's been, or whatever. I guess it's Sunday after the last time we met, so I guess it's been 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a month.
Yeah,
a month.
So
yeah. I didn't know you didn't want us here.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Well,
I get it, though.
I was actually, I'd already told her I wanted to leave. Like, I was just going to leave. Yeah. I was going to let her do it. And because I just didn't want to, I've been angry a long time. And it's because I felt like everything was going wrong constantly. And it probably was because I was constantly complaining. And Numbers 11 tells us that he was so angry that he consumed part of the camp. How angry is that?
Yeah. Lethally angry.
For complaining. Mm-hmm. Not fornication, not killing babies, but complaining. Mm-hmm. So do you think he's angry with us complaining today? Probably.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't change.
Right. So the things that are...
What his son did for us that gave us the grace.
Right.
Other than that, he hasn't changed.
And so the only thing that has changed is how he deals with us. He's not consuming us in...
He put all of it on
in
Christ.
A camp. Right. But he's not consuming us like in a camp. But he's still going to chastise you. He's still going to correct you. Mm-hmm. Because he says he does it because he loves you. And he's loved me a lot in the last 3.5 years.
Well, I mean, and have you noticed, like, since this revelation came to you, that all of those things that happened to you fit into that list of all things work together?
Yeah.
Like, all of those things work together.
I just wish it would have came a little quicker.
Well, but it must be for your good.
Yeah,
but
because
he's the one that revealed it to
you. It's probably to make it sink in.
Yeah.
It sunk in a lot harder, a lot deeper, a lot, I don't know, it took hold quick. So.
Yeah. Consistent complaining turns into brutal bitterness, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
My wife's saying yes. So, I mean, like I said, it's not a profound teaching. It's just, it's something that, if it's still detestable in the old covenant, it's probably still detestable today. And he still is going to.
And the change was very obvious because that next day.
That's true.
When we got home, I said to Jeff, there's something different about Kelly.
Yeah, I told you that.
Did you notice
when we went to Applebee's?
His face looked different.
It did.
He was smiling. It looked like he was carrying a bag on his back.
And I said, you would
yes, he did.
And I said, something's different. Something's different.
Yeah, we talked about it too, didn't we?
And she said, well, anytime he can shoot a gun, it's a good day.
Yeah, that's what I saw that day right before his longer.
Oh, I must confess something.
Oh, no.
I got the bug, bro.
Did I not say when I ran up here to get it that I was like, you're going to love this?
I was like, I think I'm going to do a little bit more of this. Yeah, for sure. I want to come up and shoot some more. I'm good with, like, target shooting. My only issue is, I don't want to kill people. That's it.
I don't want to kill anybody either.
I know.
I don't. Because, one, I don't want the liability. Main part.
Yeah.
But, two, I don't really take a life. But...
A month ago, you probably wanted to kill people.
Hey, my mom always said that if a slow car gets in front of you or an activity bus or something like that, that could be God's way of protecting you from something on death.
And see, I knew that too. She's actually said that to me plenty of times. It's probably keeping you out of an accident or like that. That never sunk in. For some reason, Numbers 11 sunk in.
Well, we didn't have anything biblical to back it up.
I mean, it. I don't know. It hit me hard. Mm. And because what's also funny is this weekly study or whatever, I looked up that word complaining in the concordance. You know that particular word used in that Old Testament has only been used twice?
Really?
Really? And so he leveled that word that was only used twice with you, and it clicked.
What was the other instance?
I think it was in one of the Psalms. Okay. I think. It was one of David's Psalms, I think.
The word for complaining?
Yeah, it's like 596 in the Concordance, something like that. And what's funny is, you know how in the words, typically there's like a small paragraph talking about the word and everything like that and how it's used. And, this one doesn't have much to say. It's just complaining. Primer root to mourn, i.e. complain. Complain two times.
Wow.
In all the Old Testament.
Wow.
Because
it seemed like the Israelites were complaining all the time.
I know. But the other word that's used for that is grumbling and murmuring.
Okay,
it's where it's translated for those. But this one's complaining.
I think the case that really sticks in my mind is when the Israelites, you know, they go out and gather the manna.
Yeah.
And we loathe this miserable food. Oh, what did you say?
Well, I mean, Numbers is full of those stories past that, but I don't know why that one. I mean, like I said, I've probably read it 20 times.
Yeah.
In my Christian life. But it hit me different through that morning. And I think it was just, I mean, God just. I mean, I've heard stories about this and other aspects of people getting cancer and things like that. You know, something like that where that hit them hard and everything like that. But I don't know. There was an anger and bitterness and just, yeah, but it's changed everything. It's changed how I look at everything that comes in my path.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I mean, everything. I don't worry about getting stuck in traffic anymore. I don't worry about the FedEx guy. I mean, now I just joke to myself that there's sand in my bathing suit. It's an annoyance.
Yeah.
There's what?
Sand in my bathing suit. Huh? What'd you say?
That's kind of complaining.
Yeah, no, I'm just, it's a joke. It's a joke, like, you know.
Happy to be in the... Beach.
You're still at the beach, right?
Yeah, even yeah. You're still playing in the water. You're still having a good time, but you know, a little sand in the butt crack is never pleasant.
I've never experienced that.
Oh, I know.
I know. Right.
The praise.
Right.
Yeah. You're the praise, Mike.
Right.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Andy, you can hug him now.
He's still not
no hugging.
I'm still not a hugger.
So I think you just need to work on it.
Hugging?
Just work on it.
Just never have been a touchy feely kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you guys.
Maybe
I'm going to stop this now. I'm going to stop.